Town Band Banter with Doc and Dave. Every week, two longtime friends and colleagues in the world of music, David Price and Donald Doc Smith, get together to discuss the triumphs as well as the twists and turns of lifelong learning for the dedicated members of thousands of civilian community music ensembles of every shape and size. Your comments and suggestions are always welcomed through email as info@townbandbanter.com, Facebook, Town Band Banter, and Instagram, #townbandbanter. And now for our hosts, Doc and Dave.
Hi, everybody. This is Town Band Banter with Doc.
And Dave.
And we've been talking for the last couple of years, Dave and myself, about doing something, about all the topics that we end up talking about amongst ourselves after rehearsals about community bands and town bands. And we're thinking about doing an article and thinking, well, there's too much there for an article. We'll do a book. It'd be a big book, you know. So we thought we'd try the podcast format. And I'm glad we did. This is our pilot for that. And what we thought we'd do in our pilot is to kind of outline all of the topics that we want to start up for episodes, and we have plenty of them, and then lean on you a little bit, too. You could contact us through our social media. Of course, it'll be townbandbanter.com is the website. The email will be info@townbandbanter.com. We'll have Facebook page, Town Band Banter, and @townbandbanter for Instagram. So, we'll be anxious to hear your suggestions and comments along the way. But for right now, we'll start with a little brief history of our backgrounds, like where we started. So why don't you start with yours, Dave?
Sure. I started teaching back in the 80s, early 80s, and I'm retired now after a career of teaching for 30 years. And one of the first jobs I had was elementary and junior high instrumental music. And I noticed that there just wasn't much of a support group that would go along with the band I was trying to create. And so at some point, I decided, gee, let's form a community band and see if we can get some parents involved. And I managed to put this together through the neighborhood, what's called the Neighborhood Guild, which is a recreation department that's right in the town of Wakefield, Rhode Island, where I taught. And I successfully ran that community band for about 10 years on that. I came from Connecticut, a little town in Connecticut, Hebron, Connecticut, where we didn't have any bands and things like that.
Wow, that's different than what I had. Yeah,
we really didn't have that. We had community vocal groups. My parents were very involved with that. And there were a lot of, it seemed like every town had a fife and drum corps.
Oh, that's what it was.
Right. Sure. And that's where I got my rudimental drumming, chops, so to speak, on that, because my teacher was heavily into that. But I really enjoyed, teaching and developing musicians over the years. So I said 30 years on it. Eventually worked up to the high school. And did that for a while, along with teaching theater. And it was a wonderful career. But I really enjoyed the community band experience. I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed seeing it develop and seeing what you had there. It had some really interesting characters I'll have to share with you at some point.
And it definitely has developed. It's like a 70-piece band now.
Right,
so it's fantastic that you got that started. And even more amusing that you had never experienced that before, you started it out of the blue, something you had never been part of before. That's remarkable. That is not my experience at all. As some of my earliest memories in Shamokin, Pennsylvania, in the middle of Coal Cracking region there, is the Our Band, O-U-R Band, one of the oldest bands in the country. The oldest band, non-military band in the country, is supposedly the Allentown Band, not that far from Shamokin. And the tradition in our town was that every Sunday night, I think it was Sunday nights, I'm pretty sure, we would go over to the post office. Now, why would you go to the post office on a Sunday? Because they would clear off the loading dock at the post office, and that would be the stage. That's where the band would set up. And they would make sure all the trucks and cars were out of the parking lot, because that's where we set up our lawn chairs and would listen to a concert at twilight every Sunday night. And that was one of my earliest memories. Later on, we moved to Scranton, Pennsylvania, and Crystal Band, and a couple bands, actually. Some of them were like green sheet bands. So you got a little bit of money for being in them. But for the most part, they were volunteer bands or church festival bands. And one of my first gigs was playing in a church festival band there, an Italian festival. I went to Marywood College, and our band there was too small for instrumentation, so they invited community members. So it was a community and college band and orchestra. And actually, I think the chorus, one of the choruses also invited community people. So that those kind of combinations, I think, are fascinating, too, and we'll certainly talk about that. I ended up at Penn State for my doctorate, and at Penn State, I was doing the blue band, which is all university, but there was this thing called the State College Community Band that I wanted to play in. It was a very good band, but people had held their seats forever. And unless someone got sick, that's how I got to fill in every once in a while. I was not going to be in my 4 years there a member of that band, a regular member of that band. But it was a terrific group. And also another thing I ran into for the first time there was alumni band. If you didn't send in a response the next day to alumni band, you would not be in the 400-piece band block.
Oh, good grief.
For the field. Yeah, because there were 5,000 people on that list at that time. And it was a huge, huge impact on the program and the community. And it was all like former, some people went into music, other people didn't, but they were lifelong performers in music and lovers of music. So that got me when I became director of bands at Northern Michigan University. One of the first things I did was form an alumni band to try to create those ties with all the communities and the band directors in the region who had gone to Northern Michigan, who kind of separated themselves from the school. That really did help with recruiting. So I ended up doing the same thing when I came here to the University of Rhode Island. One of the I did get to conduct the Marquette Civic Band while I was there. They only perform in the summers. However, they have wool uniforms, which makes perfect sense because they performed right on Lake Superior, Presque Isle. It's actually a peninsula that jutted out into Lake Superior. And on summer evenings in July, it could be 80 during the day, but it was going to be much chillier at night. Yeah. So wool uniforms made perfect sense for there. And then when I moved here, I was on the other side of Dave's Wakefield Civic Band because I was the high school director. I left university teaching, and I was the host for that band every week and occasionally guest conducted it as well. And then I took over the Jamestown Band, I think it was about 8 years ago, and the Jamestown Community Band has expanded and done very well, and I'm thrilled about that job, but that's an interesting situation too, a very different kind of band. So it's because of all the differences in all these bands, except for one thing that ties them all together, and that's lifelong learning and people that want to continue playing, and it's great for them in many ways. But there are positives and negatives, and those are topics we want to certainly discuss as we go on. I'll take on maybe the first one, cognitive. We have a neurologist who's also a good musician who's going to be one of our early guests, and he's going to talk about, you know, the positives and the negatives of the cognitive. You know, like it really does help as you're aging and the cognitive starting to break down. But then when it does start to break down, are there strategies to keep people playing longer? And we certainly want to explore all that. There are so many other topics like that that we decided to start the podcast. What are a few others, Dave?
I was just going to say, as your band members get older, and it's great to have a band that has a real span of ages. What would you say with the Jamestown band? What you said you had a kid
he's 12. Well, he started when he was 12 last year. So,
yeah. And he's a very good musician, by the way.
He is,
really,
yeah. And we have a couple other kids from the middle school.
Yeah.
But then all the way up, people into their 90s.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
Yeah, it makes for a really good challenge. But like you were saying, the cognitive, you know, things that will benefit. But also, you know, things you have to deal with older band members. Hearing loss and visual issues. I was saying, I'm playing in the... Westerly Band, and the gentleman who plays in the horn section with me. By the way, I am struggling to play the French horn, but it's all right.
I can attest to that.
They're very forgiving. So isn't the Jamestown Band. But the gentleman who sits next to me, he's in his mid-80s, and he just had cataract surgery, and so he's wearing trifocals now in order to see his music. But he's still at it. He works at it. He's a pretty darn good horn player, too, for his age. He does well. But those are all things you deal with, you know.
As well as physical issues. We had arthritis and repetitive motion injuries. We have a young lady who just graduated from conservatory, and she's struggling with some injury from that as a youngster, but that happens all the way through. So there are many more things we could do about that. I remember when I was in college, no one even talked about it at all, and it's just started coming up as part of the concerns for students that, you know, over practicing or practicing in the wrong way. So all of that started being more explored and addressed sometime in the 80s or 90s. I forget exactly when, but that'll certainly be one of the topics. And then a new topic is that we, at least a way of saying it, is SEL, the social emotional learning. And that certainly is something that I'm sure draws a lot of people to this lifelong love of being in band and staying in the community band for that time. Yeah. So anything else? I'm sure that other topics are going to come up, you know, and we'll listen to you as well about issues that our audience has run into. But all of that mixed in with Snowbirds, we perform, Jamestown performs year round. So we kind of like have a summer band, summer spring band, and then a winter band, because a lot of our folks who are older retired members go to the warmer climates in the South for the winter, and then they rejoin the band in sometime in the spring. And so then it's two different kind of bands as we go through. And then all sorts of other issues, too, as you're going through the whole year. So retaining instrumentation consistency is quite a balancing act, you know, quite a challenge.
Absolutely.
And is with most bands.
How would you, for example, how do you figure out what repertoire you're going to play for any concert? If you're not really sure what you're going to have for instrumentation, it's a heck of a challenge. So
it's a huge challenge, you know, and I had, when I was in Lancaster for 1 year, lived there working at a mom and pop music store, it was right next to a senior care facility. And we'd have people start coming over and buying instruments because they formed a band, you know, and it was great. And he goes, you know, we don't do a lot of things that feature individual players because we rehearse on a Wednesday and we don't perform until the weekend, you know, so anything could happen. And they used to joke about it, you know, like it wasn't, they weren't serious about that. And I thought, how wonderful is that for this band? And these folks would come in, men and women would come in, all excited about being able to play again after not having played for 40 or 50 years. So that's it. And we have someone who just started, joined the band. The joke in the Jamestown band is that it's a select ensemble. I announce this every concert. You know, whoever selects to be in it is in it. Right. And a lady came up after the concert and took me up on it and said, I don't play a band instrument, but I always wanted to.
Right.
I don't play a band instrument, but I always wanted to. Could you help me with that? And she's now our mallet player.
Yeah.
So, and she's doing fantastic.
She does a good job, too.
She really does. Well, she's an emeritus professor, so she's not a dummy, you know, and she really learned quickly. So repertoire is huge for anything in music. I found that is the secret to my career. David said that he's retired. I'm recently retired, too, so that's another reason we have time to do this, you know, and reflecting on things that we did all through our whole career. So, you know, the membership, audition procedures, you know, what every band is a little bit different with that. So we could talk about all those issues into balancing, and it's kind of cool. Somehow all of the bands that we run into manage all of those issues, and it's probably because of that basic drive to continue playing.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, funding was something that you had brought up.
You know, if you were going to start a band, for example, how do you go about doing this? Where do you get the funding for this? And it does play a part. You got to be able to buy music. Sometimes supply instruments, and at times you have to pay for a place to be able to not only perform but also to rehearse.
Jamestown, you know, just had a change there about a year ago. We realized that our audience had outgrown the place that we were doing our performances in, the same place we rehearse, and it was greatly exceeding the fire code.
Oh, you used to do the performances there at the church?
Right there, yeah. And because the band was only like 15 or 20, and then the crowds were 30 or 40, it was no problem. And then all of a sudden the band grew, and the crowds more than tripled.
Sure.
And there wasn't room. There was standing room only, and we were in danger of the fire marshal, who was a friend of the band. So I don't know.
That's good.
You never know,
bucks,
you know,
quiet.
What happens. You can imagine we talked about the Hooterville volunteer fire
yes,
band.
One of my favorites.
Yes, right. But, you know, like you can imagine someone coming in, the fire marshal was in charge of that band, so he probably wouldn't have stepped in and called a violation. But you never know in a small town what might happen. So, all of those issues and many more. We're expecting to do an episode a week, about 30 to 45 minutes, closer to the 30-minute, and focus on a different topic every week. And we'll be very interested to hear what you're interested in. Again, our social media is, the email is info@townbandbanter.com. The website's townbandbanter.com. And our Facebook will be just townbandbanter, and Instagram @townbandbanter. So we're looking forward to hearing from you and really anxious to get started with our first episode, which I think we're going to focus on the why are there community bands and a little bit of the history of some of the bands we've run into over the years and how fascinating that is as we're doing a little bit more research too.
Sounds like a good place to start.
Okay, until next time, this has been Town Band Banter with Doc
and Dave.
Just keep on playing.